Yeah. It's to our God, every word of worship with one accord. Every praise, is to our God. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship with one accord.
Every praise,
every praise,
every praise. To our God,
sing hallelujah
to our God, glory hallelujah with one our God. Every praise is to our God.
Every praise,
every praise is to our God. Every word of worship with one accord. Hallelujah to our God. Glory, hallelujah to our God. Every praise is to our God.
God, my Savior.
God, my Savior. God, my healer. God, my deliverer.
Yes, He is.
Yes, He is. Yes, He is.
God, my Savior.
God, my Savior.
Oh, yes, tell Him.
God, my healer.
God, my deliverer.
God, my deliverer.
Yes, He is.
Yes, He is.
Yes, He is.
Yes, He is.
Every prayer.
Every prayer is to our God. Every word of worship with one accord.
Every prayer.
Every praise,
every praise,
every praise to our God.
Sing hallelujah,
sing hallelujah to our God. Glory hallelujah is to our God.
Oh yes,
every praise is to our God.
One more time, sing it.
Oh, every praise is to our God.
Yes.
Every word of worship with one accord. Every praise to our God.
God, my Savior.
God, my Savior. God, my healer. God, my deliverer. Yes, He is. Yes, He is.
God, my Savior,
God, my healer, God, my deliverer. Yes, He is. Yes, He is.
Hallelujah. Father God, we bless You and we thank You for the opportunity to tell You once again that every praise is due and to You and You only forever and ever. And all worship belongs to You. Speak to us, O God. May none of us live the same. In Jesus' name we pray. And the saints said, Amen. We may take our seats in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Amen. We're going to continue. Hallelujah. In fact, today I want us to start something new. Amen. Something new still within the salvation. How to preach salvation. I'm being too blessed by the book.
Amen.
Amen. Salvation message 56. The new creation.
Preach.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
In fact, Global Healing Jesus Sunday is the Sunday, God willing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that's a blessing. Amen.
Amen.
But the new creation. Now let's turn our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Now, this is very important, very, very important that we know, because this answers many questions that I had when I was a young Christian and that many people have.
That's right.
Why, even though we are born again, certain things still happen. We still have certain urges. We still, things still are a certain way.
That's right.
Am I saying something to somebody? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, which includes me, which includes you, which includes all of us, if we are in Christ. What does it mean to be in Christ? If we are born again, born of the Spirit of God, born of water, born of the Spirit, then we are born again. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation or new creature. All things are passed away. Hallelujah. And behold, all things are become new. It means that if anyone is in Jesus Christ, old things, old places we used to go, old boyfriends, old girlfriends, old situations, old sexual behavior, old drug addiction, old cigarette smoking, old alcoholism, old cussing, old quarreling, all things are passed away. And behold, all things are become new. If any man be in Christ, depression is passed away. Amen. Fear is passed away. Amen. Sin is passed away. Am I saying something to somebody? If anyone be in Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and takes that old nature of stone, hard heart of stone, stubborn heart, sinful heart that cannot but sin against God, takes that heart of stone, removes it, the Holy Spirit, and that spiritual surgery, and takes a heart of flesh, a new heart, and put it in us.
Amen.
If anybody is in Christ Jesus,
Amen. They
are a new creature. All things are passed away. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
And behold, all things are become new. Now, the new creation is very important. Now, the new creation is going to talk about, we are going to use some of the seven great principles. Now, the seven great principles are great principles. They are one of the most strongest foundations we can think of. Hallelujah. Because it explains what happens in the new birth experience and afterward. Hallelujah. So the first of the seven great principles which define the new creation is, man is a spirit, has a soul, and lives in a body. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Man, when we say mankind, it means man and woman. Am I saying something? And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Meaning that the God of peace sanctify, makes you holy, makes you set apart, makes you peculiar. The very God of peace make you holy. And I sanctify you wholly, and I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So this verse makes it clear that there is a spirit, there is a soul, there is a body. Am I saying something to somebody?
Amen.
Now look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's start from verse 1. Let me show you an interesting thing there too. And you will see that we are in a tent. Ivy, this is a tent. This is a tent. Yes, a tent. T-E-N-T. Tent. It is not the real you and I.
Amen.
The real person, the things which are seen are temporary,
That's right. The
body.
Right.
The things which are not seen are eternal, like the spirit and the soul.
Amen.
For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So it's clear that we are in a building. Let's continue. Very good. We are in the earthly house. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed unto that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Then it goes on. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But what is important for us to know is that we are in a tabernacle. We are in the body is in a tent, a house. Hallelujah. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle is dissolved, meaning that we die, We have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. This is not talking about your physical home or your apartment. I don't know if I'm preaching to somebody. Yeah. Look at it in NLT. For we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, that is when we die, and leave these bodies, we will have a home in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God himself and not by human hands. Praise God. Hallelujah. Man is a spirit, has a soul, and lives in a body. Now the spirit and the soul are so hard to separate. Hallelujah. But you and I are a spirit. And we have a soul. And we live in a body. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. For the word of God is quick or alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. It's only the word of God that can divide between the soul and the spirit, because it's a fine line. And of the joints and the marrow. It's not easy to separate the joints and the marrow. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So you can clearly see how you have the spirit and the soul. Hallelujah. And it's the word of God that is able to divide it smoothly. And this is the Bible written many years ago, before medical science discovered joints and the marrows. And how separation occurs. Hallelujah. Amen. So you and I must realize that we are spirit. We have a soul. And we live in a body.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Many people forget. How many agree that sometimes you forget that you are a spirit? You are first a spirit. And you have a soul. And you live in a body. Most people spend most of their time working on the earthly part, which will be dissolved. Most of us spend majority of our time focusing on the body, which is a house, which is a tent, which will be dissolved. But the real you and I, we don't focus on. Am I preaching? We don't focus on the real you and I. But you and I must realize that the spirit is, the Bible says that God formed Adam. We all know the story from Genesis. And the Bible says that, and God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul.
Hallelujah.
So the breath of God came into Adam, and that's where we came alive. And then our spirits formed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So anyone who is dogs and cats and animals, most likely they have a soul. Do they have a spirit? No, I don't know about that. Hallelujah. But human beings, we have a spirit and we have a soul. The spirit is the real you and I. The spirit is the part that God communicates with mainly, even though he can communicate, or he also communicates with our soul. The spirit in the body is in the belly area. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. The Holy Spirit dwells in our spirits. Hallelujah. And then the soul is also important, because the soul and the spirit usually go along together. That's why when a man or a woman dies, their spirit and their soul leaves the body. Hallelujah. Now, what is the soul? The soul is your intellect, your will, your emotions, your mind. Hallelujah. Now, the closest part of you and I to the physical is the body. So that is where the devil can easily come to. Because the devil can easily affect people's bodies. Make them sleep. Make them lazy. Make them crave for food. Gluttony. They just eat. They eat without reservation. Unrestrained eating. Unrestrained sexual situations, unrestrained alcoholism, just excess. The devil is able to affect people's bodies. And then right behind the body is the soul. And the devil is easily able to also affect people's souls. That's why sometimes he puts evil thoughts in people's minds, causes people to be depressed, causes people to feel like they are useless, causes people to feel the wrong way, or causes people to start thinking in the wrong way. Suicidal thoughts, wrong thinking. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10.
Preach.
Let's start from verse 2.
Preach.
Hallelujah. Amen. 2 to 4. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with you, present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, verse 3, we do not war after the flesh. Even though we are walking in the body, we are living human physical bodies, lives. We are not fighting. Our spiritual warfare is not against physical people. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are not physical, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds or fortresses in the mind. The devil is able to get there. And bringing into and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, casting down imaginations. So it also shows that the devil gives imaginations, and you and I must cast them down. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. It means that when preaching occurs, whether I'm preaching, another pastor is preaching, we are reading the Bible, and something comes that goes against what you want, then a thought would try to magnify itself against what the Bible said. Pay tithe. Oh, but these pastors, they like to spend the money and eat the money. A high thought has come to negate the word I'm preaching. Or forgive. You don't know what I've been through. If you knew what I went through, you'd not be saying forgive. Maybe you would still be in unforgiveness. What does it mean? It's a high thought that is coming to counter, that is coming to exalt itself against the knowledge of God in your life, in your mind, or in my mind. So you and I must understand that the soul is right in front or right after the body. So the devil is able to work on people's souls. And then the spirit is the inner man. That's why the Bible calls the spirit the cryptos man in Greek. The cryptos man, or the hidden man, or the hidden man of the heart. That is the spirit. That is the real you and I. Hallelujah. And this spirit you and I have is in the belly area, and that's the primary way God communicates to us, even though he communicates to us also through our minds. But the primary way is through our spirits. Of course, with the word. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because if God is communicating with us primarily through the word, he means that God is communicating with us primarily through Jesus. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Because Jesus and the word cannot be separated. So you will see that the spirit, now, when your spirit longs for God, if you are a born-again Christian, because the born-again Christian is a new creature in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But the soul is looking for whatever it can get in the world. Am I saying something to somebody? As for the body, it's defeated. The body is a body of sin. So long as we are in this body, we are going to fight against sin. No matter how old we are, because you can see a word that can mess you up more than someone who is going to fornicate. Hallelujah. So until we die, we are going to fight the good fight of faith.
Amen.
That's why Apostle Paul, when he knew he was going, he said, I fought the good fight, I finished. Because I'm about to be beheaded, I'm finished. I can't sin any longer, I can't talk anyhow. Hallelujah. No temptation now. So, what am I saying? I'm saying that the spirit of the unbeliever, let's not talk about that, because that one has nothing to do with God, does not want to know God. That's why the Holy Spirit has to do spiritual surgery. Am I preaching? Because Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, meaning that we are born of flesh into the world. It is flesh. It will not inherit the kingdom of God. That which is born of the spirit, being born again, is spirit. And that is only spirit that will inherit our spirits. That's why Jesus said, flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. We need to be born of the spirit. So the spirit of the Christian longs to please God, but the soul is longing for money, car, marriage, status, girlfriend, boyfriend, sex, food, the list goes on. That is the soul, because the body is communicating with the soul and telling the soul that, look, yeah, this will feel good, this would taste good. Yes, eat without restraint. The alcohol, take it. Yes, lying is convenient. Am I preaching? But when you and I are in the Word, when you and I grow in the Word, when you and I are mature in the Word, then our spirits will grow and become so strong that our spirits will be able to control our soul.
You are preaching.
I thought you put your hands together for Jesus. Spirit controlled. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you and I must be able to understand 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes, but someone is 70 years old and they call him a newborn babe. Yes. As newborn babes in Christ, when you became born again, that's when you became, you started living. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. These are basic Christian doctrine, and yet many people don't know it. People are looking for so-called higher things. But no matter, it's kind of like you are trying to fly up, but because you don't have the foundations, you are in a mist, and it's a free fall. There's nothing like going up without the basics or the foundation. And many Christians don't know the saving grace principles. And therefore, it is impossible that they are going after high-level stuff. And anyway, most Christians, the high-level stuff, the things they call high-level stuff, is what Jesus said in, look at Matthew 6:33-36. You see what the Christians call high-level stuff, many Christians. Am I preaching to somebody here?
It's a good word.
But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Is that all? Okay. Go to verse 30. Good. This is, yes. I think it's 30, between 30, 31, 32, but 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? It means that everyone who is worried about clothing and food and other stuff, according to Jesus, they have little faith. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Many Christians are looking for the things that the Gentiles seek. Don't shout me down now. Preaching very good here. Many Christians seek for the things that the Gentiles are seeking. Many Christians are assuming that little faith is spiritual maturity. Because according to Jesus, how many Christians are looking for or want to hear more about how to get? Don't shout me down. I'm preaching very good. About how can I get? How can I get more money? How can I get a car? How can I get a house? How can I get promotion? Jesus is saying that, look at verse 31. It is ye of little faith. Let's read it. Therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? In fact, verse 30, rather. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Verse 31. Therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Now look at NLT, and then let's start from 30, and then we'll just scale through. Now this is very important, because what I'm saying is that God expects the mature Christian to lay hold of name, claim, and take, not to be crying for it and worrying about it. You won't find any scripture in the Bible that says that spiritual maturity is always worrying about those things. Maybe if the devil has written a book, it will be there, but not in God's book. Matthew 6:30. And if God cares so wonderfully for flowers that are here today and gone tomorrow, won't he more surely care for you? You have so little faith. So don't worry about having enough food or drink or clothing. Why be like the pagans who are so deeply concerned about these things? Your heavenly Father already knows all your needs, and he will give you all you need from day to day if you live for him and make the kingdom of God your primary concern. That is maturity. You can put your hands together for Jesus. Bishop's motto, and I think he was saying that Bishop David Oyedepo, his motto is seek ye first, Matthew 6:33. That's his goal. That's his prosperity. Seek first God's kingdom, and the things will be added unto you. Not, oh, how do we get money? I always wanted to hear about money. Am I preaching to somebody? Very important. So our spirits must hear the right things to grow. Our spirit must hear the meat. Our spirit must hear how to seek God's kingdom first. I'm preaching. Our spirits must hear how to be built up, how to pray, how to do something for God, how to live for God, how to work for God, how to seek his kingdom first. Look at Hebrews 11:6. And then you will see that pleasing God is connected to doing for God, because you know that he will reward you for doing it. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Even the demons believe that, so that's not a problem. James says that even the devils believe and they shudder. Yeah, so believing that he is not good enough. That's why there's an end. Otherwise, God would have said, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, or he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Then, either or. Am I preaching to somebody? Yeah. But the end, I'm talking to myself also, because it's not easy for all of us, but we got to do what we got to do. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that do diligently seek him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at it in NLT, verse 6, Hebrews 11:6. So you see, it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that there is a God, and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. Sincerely. So, ladies and gentlemen, build your spirit. Amen. Build your spirit on the word of God, so that your spirit will gain the preeminence. Amen. Your spirit will gain control. Amen. Your spirit would, when your spirit gains control, then what your spirit wants to do, your spirit will tell your soul to do. Amen. What my spirit wants to do, my spirit will tell my soul to do, because my spirit has the upper hand. Amen. My spirit is growing. Versus my soul is growing, but my spirit is weak. Oral Roberts, how many know of Oral Roberts? Oral Roberts. Oral Roberts said there was a time he was, Kenneth Copeland was preaching some time and said that he went to ORU, Oral Roberts University. And when he went there, I don't know whether it was he or Kenneth or Oral Roberts, one of them, God opened his eyes and he could see into people's spirits. He saw weak, sickly, malnourished spirits. Wait. And then he saw a great giant spirit, Oral Roberts. And the rest, many of them were weak spirits. Because your spirit only grows by the word of God. Nothing more. The word of God is what grows our spirits. May our spirits not be malnourished,
amen,
but be strong.
Amen.
Number two, the spirit of an unsaved man is dead and desperately wicked. I'm sure we'll continue next week, God, when we'll stay in on number two. The spirit of an unsaved man is dead and desperately wicked. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Think about it. The heart is deceitful above all things, meaning that our hearts can deceive us. How many hearts have my heart has deceived me before? Thinking something and realizing that it's far from it. You know how easy it is when many of us, we can sing the songs, and if I ask myself and all of us that, how many of us can do anything for God? How many of us love God so much that we can do anything? Most likely we'll lift our hands up. And if God says, okay, I want you to go, I've called you, go to Angola and go and live there, then we'll see what it means. Because God can do that. Africans would have been running with the cloth, what do you, those feathers, and the grass skirts, if it wasn't for America and the Basel missionaries. That's what we'll be doing. Yeah, who did it? Fantastic, yes. But it took people who were not pastors sending their children, SOS, okay, go to Ghana, go to Nigeria, go to Senegal, go to these places, go and tell people about Jesus. They'll go and malaria will kill them, they'll die, the parents will mourn, and then, okay, I'm ready, I'm sending my next child. Yeah. So it shows that God needed to do that to save Africa, many people in Africa. God can tell you to do that.
Amen.
It's unlikely, but it's possible.
Yeah.
But the question is, will you do it if he asks you? Will I do it? So you can see how our hearts are. Also, if you and I are put in a particular situation, as for me, I can never do this. I can never murder. I can never fornicate or whatever. I can never steal. I can never do drugs. I can never become an alcoholic. What are the other sins? I can never be a thief. Okay. You should watch the movie Trading Places. Trading Places with, Dan Aykroyd and Eddie Murphy, yes. It shows the pressure, what pressure can do to people. A Wall Street successful white man, very successful Wall Street, making a lot of money. And the poor hustler who was stealing, was brought, they traded places and there was a bet for a dollar by rich people, and the poor man became a very successful, well-to-do person who was focused, who stopped stealing, who was surprised when he saw people steal, very, very successful. And the rich man, who was a good man, was now stealing and doing other things. Yeah. It shows when you are pressed in a corner, what will you do? The heart is deceitful. The heart can lie to you. Your heart can trick you. My heart can trick me. And our hearts, deep in our hearts, is deceit. I'm talking about the unbeliever. Because this part is that the spirit of the unsaved is what? Is dead and desperately wicked. So before we became saved, and those who are not saved. So you can see that there's a lot of deceit, wickedness in people's hearts. That's why in the olden days, the Spanish Inquisition. How many have heard of the Spanish Inquisition? And impaling. You know impaling? They would take a pole and hang you from your back all the way up. Hang you in a pole. Yeah. All the way up, out. Yeah. Into the mouth, come out. The pole. Wicked. We are talking about the wicked heart. Also, the Persians, the Romans, whoever started it first, whether it was the Persians or the Romans, the crucifixion, it was one of the cruelest ways of killing people because you die slowly by asphyxiation. You die slowly. You are naked. Imagine big nails and they are kneeling human beings' hands. And then the legs. And then they are bleeding. They are bleeding. Now the effect of loss of blood, plus you are being supported by the cross. When you bend, you breathe. But so you have to breathe this way. But when your bones are broken and are weak, how are you going to breathe? You are laughing. How are you going to breathe? You can't even breathe. You can't breathe. That's what they did to Jesus. And it was not just Jesus. They did it to many people. But Jesus was at another level. Because Jesus had lost a lot of blood before. Different from many others. He was whipped, lost a lot of blood, crown of thorns, and his was so severe. That's why he died before the others. The other two. When you look at people, there are disputes about whether Marcus Aurelius or not. So you take him or Nero, and some of the Caesars who fed human beings, fellow human beings, to lions, and they ate them in front of the people. The heart of man is wicked. Someone will do you good, and then you somehow turn it around and do evil to them. There are many people like that who will be helped, who would be helped. They'll do you good, and then you turn around like Judas Iscariot and do evil to the person. There are people like that. Desperately wicked. The heart is deceitful. That is man. And that's why it's very important that you and I become, well, we are born again Christians. That's why it is very important that people become born again Christians. Because a wicked heart cannot go to heaven. Heaven is not for good people. Phoebe, surprising, right? Heaven is not for good people. When you are in heaven, you'll be good. But on earth, to get to heaven, is good people don't go to heaven. It's saved people, people who have been washed by the blood of Jesus, people who have been justified by faith in Christ Jesus, are the ones who will go to heaven, not by being good. For by works of righteousness shall no flesh prevail, or shall no one go to heaven by works of righteousness. Actually, good works will give us a first class. If we rely on good works to go to heaven, it actually rather guarantees a first class ticket to hell. Because all our righteousness are like filthy rags before God. Did you think about it? It's rags. I hate rags. it's very difficult to have it in my house without throwing it, me throwing it away at a point. Dirty. But even when it's washed, it looks dirty. Even when it's washed. How much more when it's filthy? Now, the Bible is saying that our best efforts, our good works, are similar to filthy rags when God is looking at it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you and I must be grateful that God has saved us. And we must also realize that there is a difference between a struggling, sinful Christian and a struggling, sinful unbeliever or an unbeliever who is a good person. There's a difference. It doesn't mean that you will not go to hell if you misbehave as a Christian. We are not talking about that. That there's also debate on that according to some pastors, TV evangelists. But at the end of the day, you better wisen up so that you can be guaranteed a ticket to heaven. But the key is, it's better. You see, a Christian still has the Holy Spirit in them even if they are doing wrong. Unless they are now committing the sin unto death, like the Bible says in 1 John. Unless they are willfully, intentionally, enjoyably sinning with no regard to God. It doesn't mean that if you have regard to God and you are sinning freely, I won't risk that. You don't want to go to hell. I'm not talking about that. I'm just trying to talk about the differences versus an unbeliever who is a good person. The Christian who is falling short and making mistakes and pleading with God and might be a liar, might be a thief, and is trying, God, fix it. Versus a very good unbeliever, the Christian has a flight to heaven more likely than... As for the unbeliever, he's not going, no matter how good he is or she is. Because it's not by works of righteousness, but it's by his grace alone. Amen. It's by his blood. I don't want to start to the third because of time. But ladies and gentlemen, let's understand that we need to develop our spirit. You see, in the Old Testament, the spirit and the soul are interchanged. My soul longeth for thee, you hear the psalmist say. My spirit longs for you. So sometimes the spirit and the soul, sometimes the spirit is the spirit, the soul is the soul, the spirit is the soul, vice versa, because it can be grouped in as one many times. But at the end of the day, when faith starts in the soul. What do you think? Yes. Faith starts in the soul. Why does faith start in the soul? Because the soul is where we think. The soul is where we learn. The soul is where we have hope. You don't have hope from the spirit. You have hope from the soul. Am I preaching to somebody? Hopefully we'll talk about that next week, God willing. But so the mind is important. When we hear the word of God or we hear the word of faith, it enters into the soul. But if you hear the word of faith once, like you hear a message that encourages you to do something good for God, or it encourages you to walk in faith, or it encourages you to walk in prosperity or whatever, and you hear it once or twice, it's still in the soul. It's not entered the spirit yet.
That's right.
And it will not generate action, usually. No wonder Jesus said through the Holy Ghost, God told Joshua in Joshua 1:8 that this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you should meditate upon it day and night. Because you have to hear it, listen to it, hear it, hear it, hear it, hear it many times. Then it moves from the soul into the spirit. The faith comes. Because faith is of the heart. So the spirit must be developed. Faith is not a soulish thing at all. That's why I have done it in the past, and I'm sure most of us have. Yes, I'm going to believe. I'm going to believe. Doesn't work that way, because I'm trying to use my mind to believe. I'm trying to force. Yes, I'm going to believe. No, it has to come from the heart, and you don't force it. The only thing you do is to force the word in. As the word comes in, it will be generated. When you have faith, you don't need to act it out. When you have faith, you don't need to plan it. It will come naturally. It will just flow naturally. Even in your unguarded moments, you are talking faith. Even when you are not thinking about it, you are speaking faith.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But that comes from the word, which must enter into the spirit. Hallelujah. Because the spirit is the main place. The spirit of man is the what? Candle.
That's
of the Lord. Man is a spirit, has a soul, and lives in a body. Final verse before we continue, next week, God willing. Romans 12, 1 and 2.
Amen.
You can look at it in the NLT. King James. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that he present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2 is what we're looking for. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Hallelujah to Jesus. You realize that by the renewing, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Because your mind needs to continually be renewed. Later on, we realize that our soul also needs to be saved. The spirit is saved already, final, saved. But the soul also needs to be saved, and our soul will continue to be saved until we die. That's why the body cannot be saved. The glorified body, that's why we need a glorified body. Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, what is that perfect, and what is that acceptable will of God. God's will is acceptable. God's will is perfect. God's will is the best. God's will is good. And God's will for my life and for your life is the best thing that can happen in our lives.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Shall we stand to our feet? Jesus' name. Now let's speak to God. Ask him to touch our hearts. To do a new thing in our lives. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, a new thing. Just speak to the Lord. Ask him to touch you, to work on you. He has begun a good work in you and I. And he will complete it. He will continue it and complete it at the day of Jesus Christ. He will be faithful to complete it. Lord Jesus, work in our hearts. Build us spiritually. Strengthen us with the right hand of your righteousness. Cause us to be strengthened with might by your Spirit, O God, in our inner man. May we be strengthened by the Holy Spirit. May our spirits be strengthened by the Holy Spirit, O God. In the name of Jesus. Let's sing a song before we take our seats.
Think in my life, something new in my life, something new. Something new in my life.
or you are watching and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you want to say, Pastor, please pray with me. I don't know Jesus. I'm not born again. My heart is dead and desperately wicked, and I need Jesus. I need to be righteous and truly holy. I need to be born again, oh God. If you are here like that or you are watching, I want you to repeat after me. Raise your hands wherever you are and repeat after me, because this is the greatest miracle ever, which is the recreation of a person. The Holy Spirit coming and taking our hearts, our nature, our old self, our heart of stone, and removing it and putting in a heart of flesh, a good heart, a righteous heart, a holy heart. Let's repeat after me. Heavenly Father,
Heavenly Father,
Heavenly Father,
I come to you.
I come to you.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
I confess.
I confess
that Jesus Christ is Lord.
That Jesus Christ is Lord.
I believe.
I believe
that He died on the cross.
That He died on the cross
for my sins.
For my sins.
I believe.
I believe
that God raised Him from the dead.
That God raised Him from the dead.
Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
Come into my life.
Come into my life.
Forgive me.
Forgive me.
For all my sins.
For all my sins.
Cleanse me.
Cleanse me.
From all unrighteousness.
From all unrighteousness.
From today.
From today.
I belong to Jesus Christ.
I belong to Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
For saving me.
For saving me.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Father God, we bless you and we thank you for the wonderful gift of Jesus. We bless and honor you, and we give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise in Jesus' name. And the saints said, amen. We may take our seats.